Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus is amazed at faith, first of a Jew and then of a Gentile. You see, both of these men put their faith completely in Jesus. Do we do the same thing? Give consideration to these words. A leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." This man had leprosy. It ostracized him from his family, from his community. It made no one want to be around him, for his disease was so contagious. He lived with a colony of fellow lepers. He felt that no one loved him. And yet he comes to Jesus, and he does not demand that he make him clean, but rather he says, "Lord, if you will, let me be clean." "Thy will be done," is our prayer, the prayer that Jesus gave us. It is better if we try to live according to God's holy will than according to our own. The man could have come and demanded it. He could have laid himself there and said, "Lord, you make me clean right now." Instead, he said, "Lord, thy will be done." Is that our prayer? Do we lay our petitions at the feet of Jesus? You see, the words here say that he came and worshipped him. And what this means is that he lies prostrate before him. He bows himself completely to the ground, acknowledging that this is the Lord of all creation. The same word by which the heavens and earth were made. The same word that made his body in the womb of his mother, that knit it together. The same word that knew him. This is the Lord of all creation. This is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Do we lay ourselves at his feet? Do we lay our petitions at his feet? Do we cry out to him, "Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches. You see what he does? He touches a man with leprosy, a most contagious disease. Jesus reaches out his hand and touches him. The interesting aspect of this is that we know that Jesus didn't actually have to touch the man to heal him. He could have simply said a word, and yet this man craved human interaction. He craved a hand on his shoulder. He craved to be a part of humanity. Jesus knew what he needed. He needed his sins forgiven. He needed to feel that part of community. And yes, he needed to be cleansed. Now, every disease that we have is not necessarily cleansed in this same way. Sometimes it is a cross for us to bear in this life for years, months, however long God chooses that it is ours to bear. But this is to show that Jesus is Lord of all things. He is Lord over disease. He is Lord over death. And so Jesus tells him to go his way and follow the rules, the law that had been laid out, that he goes and shows himself to the priests, that he offers the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to the fact that he has been cleaned. And then we have a centurion, a Gentile, a man who is not a part of that old covenant. This is an uncircumcised man, a man who did not trust in God his whole life. And yet he had heard of what Jesus had said and done. Perhaps he had heard the message preached on the Sermon on the Mount. And so he comes and he pleads with Jesus. He says, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Jesus offers to come out to heal this man's servant. But the centurion says something incredible. He says, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." These are traditional words proclaimed by the Christian before he receives the body of our Lord. "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under the roof of my mouth, that I should receive your body to cleanse me from my sins, that I should receive the cup of blessing, your blood poured out and shed for many. I should not be worthy to receive these things. And yet by your word, I do, and I am cleansed." The man then speaks about authority. He says, "I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And it sounds like maybe the man is boasting to our ears, but that's because we sorely misunderstand what authority is. We think that we are the gods of ourselves, that all authority is given to us on how we are to live, or what we are to do to our bodies, or what we are to put in. But we forget that the authority comes from God. He has created your body as a temple for the Holy Spirit. And it is a temple that should be cleansed. It is a temple that should be adored and given thanks to God for. It is a temple that not only contains your soul, an ever-living soul, but also the Holy Spirit poured out on you in your baptism. Yes, your body is a temple that will be laid to the ground for a time, but a temple that will come back out of that ground and rejoice in Christ your Savior. When Jesus heard the words of this man, the fact that yes, he has authority, but he is also under authority, he marveled and he said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Think about how much that would have cut the people listening. All the Jews who had come out, who thought that they were doing the right thing. The scribes and the Pharisees who lived their whole life trying to follow not necessarily God's laws, but the laws that they thought were his because they made them. "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." This centurion who is not a part of the old covenant is a part of the new, a greater covenant. The old has passed away, not because God has destroyed it, but because he has fulfilled it. The old covenant was set apart, the Hebrews were set apart, so that the Savior might be born through them, so that Jesus, the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, would be born to live a perfect life in our stead, born to go to the cross to suffer death for each and every sin that we have committed through our lives, to die for every sin committed by all those lives that you have touched as well. Jesus takes those sins upon himself. That is why the old covenant exists, so that the Lord of all creation could take on flesh, be born, and die for you. He says, "I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is Jesus' proclamation. Just because you were a part of the old covenant, just because you have been circumcised, does not guarantee salvation. Only faith in me, declares Jesus, will save you. Just because you tie yourselves to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob does not mean that you will be saved. But rather, those who have come from all nations, the Gentiles will be called as well, and they will proclaim me as Lord. At the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, and those who confessed in their life, I will take to be with me for eternity. That is what Jesus proclaims. that is the truth. So even though we probably weren't born into that old covenant, we are born into the new through our rebirth, through the waters of holy baptism, where God calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Jesus has called you by name. He has placed his cross on you, and he declares that you are his. Naaman in our Old Testament lesson went away angry when he was told what to do. He said, "Can't I go wash in one of our rivers? Isn't it better than this stinky Jordan River? Why would I do that?" And yet his servant says, "If he would have said to do something grand and great, would you not have done it?" And so he submits to what Elisha has proclaimed. He goes and he washes himself 7 times in the Jordan River. Just a few weeks ago, we talked about that Jordan River. We talked about the fact that this is the same Jordan in which God separated so that his people could walk through on dry land into the promised land. This is the same Jordan in which Jesus Christ submitted himself to be baptized by John the Baptist, that his righteousness may go into the waters, that what we might receive out of the waters of baptism are his clothing, his robe of righteousness that declares us righteous. It's easy to try to live for ourselves. It's easy to try to put our head in the sand and pretend like the world doesn't actually try to destroy our faith. It's easy to try to live in a way that does not matter, and yet God has not called us to that. It would be easy for us to be such a divided people, for us to people to say, "I don't care what he does, I don't like it. I don't care what's going on in our society or our country, I don't like it. I'm divided, I don't like him because he votes differently than me or he thinks differently than me. I don't like the man." And yet what does St. Paul write? He says, "Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." For all the times that we feel disgraced by others, for the times that we look at the atheist and say, "Why does he have it better off than I do?" we return to the Lord. In the end, our faith, which is a gift from God, will be rewarded. And those who do not have faith will be eternally punished. We don't want eternity in hell. We want eternity with Jesus, to be at his wedding banquet, which will never end, to receive him all the rest of the days of eternity. This life isn't going to necessarily be easy, and yes, there will be people who surround you who do not like you, who spew all sorts of hatred at you, who backbite, who gossip behind your back, and yet treat you joyfully to your face. Jesus died for them too. And Lord willing, they will repent and they will turn. Do not repay the evil with evil, but rejoice in that which is good. Jesus. The church sings. From God the Father, virgin born, to us the only Son came down, by death the font to consecrate, the faithful to regenerate. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.